Good to be back here, folks. I missed you guys. Turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. We want to look at verses 5 and 6. And in Ephesians 6, 5 and 6, it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Question. Have you ever made plans that you felt were good, and suddenly God turned things around so that the plans you made were suddenly not possible for some reason? There's a cliche that says, the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. And I sometimes plan what I think is a good plan, later find out that God had something else planned for me. I start out praying and seeking the Lord's will for my life, and then God changes things I thought were planned according to God's will. He changes them. What are you supposed to do in that kind of a situation? Do you fight God? Do you fight God? Or do you surrender? It happened when I got ready to go bear hunting. I was supposed to go up on Thursday. Thursday morning I came out, put the key in the Jeep, I pushed the button and nothing happened. I pushed the button again, said, "Urgh." I thought, oh, the starter's gone out. So I had to make arrangements to get the Jeep to Jeep dealer. Had to find a rental car. And by the way, on Thursday morning, there were no rental cars available anywhere in the area of Charleston, because they had sent all of them up north. Not all of them, but they'd sent a good majority of their cars up north where people had lost their vehicles. You don't know how many vehicles were lost in what happened up in North Carolina and Tennessee. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. Be careful if you're going to buy a vehicle, because what they'll do is they fix them back up so they'll run, and then they'll sell you a vehicle that's been through a flood. So they sent their vehicles up there, and there were no vehicles here available. And I turned to the Lord and said, "Well, Lord, I'm planning on leaving today. What am I going to do?" And you know what he told me? He told me what he tells me every once in a while that I don't like to hear. He said, "Be still and know that I am God." And so I went over to the rental car place. Well, first of all, Hendrick's Jeep, they have an arrangement with Uber, and so they'll take you to wherever you want to go. So I said, "Well, take me to the Enterprise rental place." And the guy had supposedly called and reserved a car for me, so I went to Enterprise and got over there on Rivers, and there was no cars available, not going to be available. So he said, "But there's a Hertz right down the road, just the other side of McDonald's." Well, I don't know what his idea of just the other side of McDonald's was, but it was a block the other side of McDonald's. So I walked four blocks to Hertz, and I walked in there and said, "We don't have any vehicles available." I said, "Well, what am I going to do? I've got to get back to the Jeep place, see if they can get me a vehicle." And he said, "Well, nothing we can do. So I walked back to the Jeep place. I didn't know it. I was just getting in shape for the hunting I was going to do when I got up in the mountains. So I got back there and still no vehicles available. So he said, why don't you go? He called and he said, I've got your vehicle reserved out on Cross County. So I'll get you an Uber and we'll go back and take you back to Cross County. And so I did. I went back to Cross County, walked in. And they said, we don't have any vehicles. I don't know who he talked to, but we don't have any vehicles. And unless a vehicle comes in today, we won't have a vehicle. So they're all out on lease. So I sat down and I talked to God. God, what am I supposed to do? And I can't go back and get my vehicle because it's not working. What do you do when you make plans that you see nothing wrong with and God interrupts those plans? I had two choices. Unfortunately, I had just written this message. I knew what the message was going to be this morning. Did I fight God or did I surrender? And folks, I surrendered. And I sat down. And I said, well, I'll just wait and see if you get something. He said, well, we're not due to have anything. So I sat there for about an hour. I thought about calling Gabrielle and telling her where I was, but I thought, well, she can't do any good for me. And then the guy said, I was just looking at this list of cars and all the reservations we've got. And he says, I see we've got one that was canceled. He said, we do have a car you can have. And so by being still and knowing that he is God, God worked it out for me. God did it. I didn't do it. The manager didn't do it. God did it. So I want to talk to you this morning about, are you going to fight God when your plans don't work out? Or are you going to surrender to God and let him work things out for you? I want to give you an example that I know of personally because I was very close to the individual. I know a man. I'm going to call him Neil. He wanted to be a missionary. And he planned his life and that of his families around there being missionaries. He had a business. And he was being quite successful with the business. But he wanted to be a missionary. He said he loved the Lord, and he did. So he closed up his business, you know, out west to minister to the Navajo Indians in Arizona. He took his whole family, wife, one child. The first thing that happened was that he had trouble with a woman who was already out there ministering to those Indians in Arizona as a missionary. And then people that he had talked to in the church who agreed that they would support him in his endeavor to be a missionary stopped supporting him. This is true, folks. I'm not just a story made up. This is true. So he couldn't stay. He didn't have any money. He couldn't live. So he had to come back home to Greenville. But when he came home, he was a broken man. He lost his faith. He came home bitter that God had not permitted him to do what he wanted to do for God. He left the church because it was the people of the church who had disappointed him. He was never able to restart his business. The stress caused him to have a heart attack. His wife wound up having to work as a house cleaner to support the family. Neil was a good Christian. When he was in the church atmosphere. But he fought the Lord. He fought the Lord about what the Lord wanted him to do. He had been successful. The Lord had made him successful in his business. But he wanted to be a missionary and serve the Lord. He thought that would be more fulfilling. And he fought the Lord. And he lost. He lost everything. He was bitter about things of the Lord. He couldn't forgive the Lord for not letting him be successful as a missionary. Over the years, I've seen people fight God about what God wanted for them in life. And every time they have lost. You cannot fight God and win. He's bigger than all of us. He's more powerful. He has all the resources. He's not one we want to fight. I'd like for us this morning to take a little time and think about the will of God. The will of God pertaining to each of our lives. You have a life. God has given you that life. And God has a plan for each one of you. Now, you might be right in the middle of what he planned for you right now. That's where he wants you. Maybe you are not there. Maybe he wants you someplace else. This is something that you have to not decide. God's already decided it. This is something that you have to discern by talking to God. Until you get an answer. Over the years, I've seen people fight God. And so we're going to start in the book of Romans. We're going to start with Romans 8, 27 and 28. Romans 8, 27 and 28. And that tells us that he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We all love that verse, don't we? I'm right in the middle of God's will, called according to his purpose. I love God. Neil loved God, but he wasn't called according to his purpose. Where did Neil make his mistake? He made his mistake in not discerning what God had called him to do. God had determined that Neil would be a good contractor, that Neil would do a good job at whatever he was doing. But Neil wanted to be a missionary. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a missionary. But if you're going to be a missionary, you have to be called. You have to have God's call upon your life. You're going to be a pastor. Same thing. God called me long before I yielded to him and became what he wanted me to be. And you need to be aware of what God is calling you to do. Neil said that he loved God, and he thought he was fulfilling the purpose that God had called him to, but he was not. He was not listening to the Holy Spirit in his heart. Remember, every time you fight God, you lose. I have never, in 83 years, seen anybody beat God. Have you ever made plans and God has tried to change them for you? Have you fought God, or did you surrender? Most of the time, it really doesn't matter, because the world won't come to an end if you don't do what God planned. But occasionally, it can make a big difference in your future, in your future life, if you don't do what God wants you to do. Not everyone is called to be a missionary. Not everyone is called to be a pastor. God actually calls some people to serve as clerks in grocery stores. God actually calls others to be mechanics in service facilities. The Holy Spirit is the one that God uses to call a person to the vocation that he wants them in. And he will call you if you will let him, if you will listen. Neil was where God wanted him to be. Neil was being blessed by God. But Neil thought it would be more rewarding to be a missionary than being a contractor. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Neil stepped out of God's will. Even Christians can give bad advice sometimes when they don't listen to the Holy Spirit. There's an art. They're hearing the Holy Spirit of God. He doesn't speak in our ear. He speaks in our heart. And there's a difference. If somebody's speaking in your ear, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. It's probably Satan. But you got to be careful if somebody's speaking in your heart, because what does the Bible tell us about our hearts? They are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You have a gift from God. We talked about it in Sunday school a little bit this morning. You have the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. He's wanting to tell you what God wants for you. That's why you listen here, not here. God will renew our minds. He will give us a different mind if we will let him. What we just read in Romans. You transform by the renewing of your mind by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit speaks in your heart, not your ear. Now the problem with that is we're told that our heart is deceitfully wicked. We have to learn the difference between our wicked hearts and the Lord speaking through the Holy Spirit to our heart by learning what principles are taught in God's Word. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. They will deceive us. They will take us out of God's will. They'll take us away from the path that God wanted to put us on. But if you know what this book says, if you read this book daily, if you know this book, you will know what God's will is for you, because you will know the difference between what your heart tells you and what God tells you in this book. So the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. And we have to learn to listen. Many times we let our emotions or feelings get involved, and we don't understand what God wants done. If emotions are at all involved, we can be fairly certain that the devil is involved also. I want to repeat that. If our emotions are at all involved, we can be fairly certain that the devil is involved also. When we get emotional, we can't make good decisions. Emotion overrides logic. We have to be willing to let God renew our mind. And if we have acted in haste, then we have to go back and make things right. That's the difficult part. Anything that is contrary to what the Bible says is sin. Anything that is contrary to what God says is sin. I've seen good people get emotionally involved and they give erroneous counsel, not intending to lead somebody astray or lead somebody into sin, but they give counsel that is not supportive of what the Bible tells us. And it causes them, the person they're giving this counsel to sin. There are times when the other person's life is destroyed by erroneous counsel. When they receive unscriptural counsel from someone wanting to help them, but failing to give biblical counsel. I have seen that happen, even recently. God says there are certain ways that things ought to be done, and there's no other way to do them. When God says there's a way to do something, God means it. Now, we're dealing with fighting against God or surrendering to His will. Which would you do in a situation that had been addressed in God's Word? There are two things that make me sad. The first one is to see people who read the Bible regularly object to doing what the Bible says. Say, oh, wait a minute, that's not me. Yes, it is. I'm afraid all of us are that way. We know what the Bible says. But there are people who refuse to do certain parts of that. The second thing that makes me sad is to have God intervene in my long-term plans, because that means that I've been wrong for a long time. And people, that can happen. You can make plans for a few years out, or sometimes many years out, but they don't, are not according to God's plan, and God will alter those plans. Don't fight it. Surrender. Let God alter those plans. That's what I told God as I was sitting in a chair over at Enterprise with no hope of a car ever coming in. I said, God, I want your will in my life. So I am willing to do whatever you tell me to do. Go or don't go. And that's when the manager said, oh, we've got a cancellation here. We got a car. Folks, that wasn't me. That wasn't him. That was him. That was God. Being kind to me, he didn't have to do that. In the case where I plan or you plan to do certain activities at a particular time, and God has different plans for you and me, we have two choices. We can fight what God wants and do the things that we planned, or we can yield to God's will. Let him control the situation, giving him thanks as we are instructed to do. Folks, it's hard sometimes to thank God. Bam, I hit my thumb with a hammer. Oh, no. Thank you, Lord. That's what he tells us. Even the bad things. Even the things we call bad. Want a verse? I'll give it to you. Now this is God. This is God speaking. This is not me. 1 Thessalonians 5:18-19. 1 Thessalonians 5:18-19. When things happen that you think are not good, look at these two verses. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18-19, in everything give thanks. In everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then there's a little short sentence right after that. Quench not the Spirit. You're supposed to be walking by the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be following the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him by fighting God. When you fight God, you're fighting Jesus. You're fighting the Holy Spirit. And it says, in everything, give God thanks. Do you see the two commands or instructions that we are given? First of all, we're to give thanks to God for manifesting his will in our life. And then we're not to quench the Holy Spirit by rebelling against God and what God has told us to do in his word. The Bible says that we are to give thanks for everything, even when it causes us to alter our plans. Now, there is one thing I can tell you by the authority of this book, the Bible. God does not make mistakes. Oh, you might think so. God, you've messed up again. Okay, no. God does not make mistakes. We're to give God thanks in everything. If we don't, there's going to be a little root of bitterness start in our hearts. If we're not willing to yield to God, if we're not willing to let God be who he is and control our life the way he wants to, there will spring up a little root of bitterness. And it will grow. There are some verses in 2 Corinthians we need to look at before we finish our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's a promise from God. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You want to give God your life, your heart, your mind. What is the unclean thing that God wants us not to touch? It says, you know, wherefore come out from among them and separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. What is this unclean thing that God is talking about? We all have it. We all have it as a part of our life. Pride. Pride is the unclean thing. It becomes an idol in our lives. Especially when it comes between us and God. Failing to obey what God has said because of our pride is sin. Well, I can't go tell that person that they've offended me. I'm too proud. So they go away and bitterness grows up. Pride has caused many people to leave the service of God. Pride also causes us to fight God when our lifestyle doesn't agree with what God wants for a lifestyle. Pride causes us to reject what God wants for our lifestyle when we want something else. When we reject what God wants us to do, we forget who is in control. God is in control. Philippians 2:13 tells us, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in your heart this morning. He is moving you to do something for him. Something that you may not even realize yet, but as the day goes along, you'll see it. Now, we've been looking at the two choices that we have as children of God. We can fight God's plan for our lives, or we can surrender to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. There are some activities that we get involved in that are not part of God's plan for us. How can we recognize those times so that we can correct our course of action? Well, if we start our day with a devotion time, then God will show us from His Word what is the correct thing to do with your life that day. I'll admit there are some times when God will show me something from His Word, and sometimes I don't want to do what He is showing me because I have my own plans. Now, do I fight God? Sometimes I do. Or do I surrender? That's what I ought to do. I want the Spirit leading me toward God's will. I want to ignore my own plans when they differ from what God is telling me. But there is always that still small voice that keeps reminding me that something has been done wrong or that I'm about to do something wrong. In that situation, I have to fight God and lose, or I have to surrender and do what God has prompted me to do. You have the same choice. There are times when we make plans that will take us into our future that is planned far in advance, and it appears that we are doing what we think God wants us to do. When the situation changes, it's hard for us to make the change. We wrestle with it because it seemed like such a good and perfect plan for each of us. We had all the details worked out, and everything seemed to fit perfectly. How should we react to the situation? Once again, we can fight God or we can surrender. Surrendering tends to make us sad because now the future is dark and we don't know what God has for us. We just read a verse that can be an encouragement, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God working in you. What I have found in several years of talking to people is that many people know and remember some of the things they did while they were younger that did not please God. Because of what our lives were like before we got saved, some people think that they are not deserving to receive anything from God, and they are right. But there is an aspect of God that we haven't included, and that is God's grace and God's mercy. And folks, those two things mean that God is going to take care of you in a good way. God will take care of you. Sometimes these people believe that they've taken care of themselves and they don't need to continue to make their own way in life. Unfortunately, they are wrong. They have not taken care of themselves. God has always been the one taking care of them. Everything you and I have, everything. Mate, home, occupation, car, everything. The clothes on our backs, all have come from God. He has given it to us. He has permitted it. He has arranged for it. I believe it is a case of our believing and not believing because of feelings of guilt. God was there long before you and I recognized him. Long before that. And he will be there long after we are gone from this world. And there will be no time when God will not care for us. God loves each one of us. And he has a plan for each one of us. We all need to be willing to surrender to his plan instead of our own. And we will be where God wants us to be. Keep this passage of the word in your heart and everything will work out to your good. We've already read it this morning. I want to read it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and 19. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Father, we are sometimes so dumb. You want us to be your children. You prepare our lives to be what you want them to be, and then we fight you. Help us, Father, to truly, truly surrender our lives to you this morning. May your will be done in each of our lives. And Father, help us not to fight you. Help us to serve you. And we will praise you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.